Lesson 42 in the book of Matthew, as we dispensationally look at the book of Matthew. Matthew 13, and we left off with verse 30 last week. We worked down as the second parable that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the little flock, and it's to them only, for them to understand, and the other people couldn't understand parables. It still throws me for a loop, like when the Lord Jesus Christ taught and spoke, you would think that it was for everybody to understand and for everybody to believe and for everybody. But this is not the case in chapter 13. A parable is for those who believe, and the ones that didn't believe, they can't see this. And that always brings a question up in our life and our hearts and even in the dispensation of grace, that if you're not spiritual, then how in the world can you understand what God's doing today? You think about that. We can think we're spiritual, and we can think we got the Holy Spirit, if you will, in us and stuff like that. But if you don't compare Scripture with Scripture and understand that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, and the Holy Spirit that rose Him from the dead is living inside of you, and that's one that needs to be fed, and He's your teacher, then how can you understand what God is doing today? You know, it's very, very important. But as we left off in verse 30, we're going to start with verse 31 today. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Now, this is the third parable he's speaking here. And you know what a grain of mustard seed is, right? He said it's the least of them. Isn't it? And when many of us talk about, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you say, move that mountain. Have you ever tried that? Have you? And then you would beat yourself up saying, "Lord, I guess I just didn't have the faith." You know, we learned a lot about faith this morning, and read Romans chapter 4 as we went through there and what Abraham believed. And he believed it while he was in yet uncircumcision, didn't he? So he would be an example for all of us. And faith is very, very important in our belief, isn't it? My faith, once again, lies in nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. My faith and my hope is that one day I'll be taken out of here. Much rather be taken out alive than take that dirt bath. But once, if I take that dirt bath before I'm out of here alive, I know the ones that's gone before me is risen first. So don't let that bother us. But when he talks about a grain of mustard seed, again, the focus of the kingdom, it's on the kingdom. It has nothing to do with today. It has nothing to do with you and I in the body of Christ. He's not talking to us. He's talking to the little flock. He's teaching that remnant believer what's going to happen over here in his absence. And also helps them out to understand what's going on in the book of Acts when he's gone. When he is gone, where is the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he with them physically? He leaves them a comforter, don't he? Who is that comforter? The Holy Spirit. And the focus is on the kingdom, and it looks like the little flock message is not going to be well received. It appears to fail. He's telling them this. But remember, the mustard seed is to become an herb. That's what it is, isn't it? But God does something to cause it to grow into a large tree. That's unheard of. You don't see a mustard tree, do you? You see a mustard plant. Go to Genesis chapter 1. The reason why he's telling them it's going to go into a tree, he's going to show them something that it's going to seem that their program is going to fail over there. They're going to go over there, they're going to go over there by faith, and they're going to go exactly what God tells them to in the tribulation period, and it's going to seem like their program is going right according to plan. But that mustard plant, when it becomes a tree, It's another reason. Genesis chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 31. Genesis chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 31. Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. Now, the reason I asked, when we reason this, what is an herb tree supposed to produce?
Herbs.
What is a tree supposed to produce?
Seed
for a tree after its own kind. So when he says a mustard seed is going to grow into a big tree, you think God's contradicting himself here? No. Go to Ezekiel chapter 31. Ezekiel chapter 31. Verse 1. And Ezekiel prophecy, some of it still yet to be fulfilled. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. A lot of people look at what's going around today and they'll pinpoint Ezekiel and say, this is what's going on today. But look. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitudes, who art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud, and the high statue, and the tops was among the thick boughs. Is that right? Okay. And the waters made him great, and the deep set him up on the high, and her rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the fields. Therefore the height was exalted above the trees of the field. His boughs was multiply, and his branches became long because of multitudes of water when he shot forth. And the fowls of the heavens made their nest in the boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadows dwelt all great nations. Let me keep reading. And he was fair in his greatness, and the length of his branches from his root was by great waters. The cedar in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and his chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was likened to him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitudes of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Now, you see a tree coming up in the garden of God that's sprouting above any other tree, that has beauty and has probably luscious branches, and everybody wants to flock to it. Everybody wants a nest in it. Without thinking, who would you say that is? You would think it's Christ, wouldn't you? You know, but who does it say it is? What did verse 3 say? Behold the Assyrian. It's the Antichrist, because Pharaoh wasn't in the garden of Eden. The Assyrian really wasn't in the Garden of Eden. But who was in the Garden of Eden? Satan. And Adam and Eve and God. So when he says it's like a mustard seed, he's referring to the fact that, hey, there's a tree going to grow up. Go back to, go to Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy. The fact that, hey, you're the mustard seed, a very small seed, and it's going to have herbs growing. But he says over there it's going to grow into a tree, and all the fowls going to go and nest in it. He's saying the fact that, hey, you're going to start out good, But that Antichrist and the Assyrian and everybody else over there is going to suppress you and take over that plan, and they're going to take that religious system and move it forward and move it out. Much like today and in times past, how God planted a vine, planted a vehicle, if you will, of what He's doing in times past, and it started out good, didn't it? And started out great, and people started believing that, and guess what happened? It started falling in apostasy. Started falling in apostate religion, and they became that way, and it started growing even big. Was the religious system when Jesus Christ walked this earth, was it great in the land of Israel?
Yeah, religion was.
The religion was. Was it the true vine?
No.
So over there, He's telling him, He's preparing the nation Israel, saying, you're going to start out good, little flock. It's going to start out great, but it's going to grow into a tree. And that's a great example there about what's going to happen there. That Satan takes over, and over here, and it comes a great tree, and all the fowls of the heavens going to come and land in it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. The kingdom people began with a small group of people, and over time it grew. Hey, that mustard seed starts out as a little bitty seed, and it becomes one of the, probably the greatest plants that the earth produces. You like mustard? You put mustard on hot dogs. You don't put ketchup on hot dogs. Got that? Got that? Okay. You don't put ketchup on... It reacts differently, doesn't it? It becomes acid. But Deuteronomy chapter 7, you can put a tomato on hot dog. Yeah, there you go. Deuteronomy chapter 7. When He talks about the little flock, He talks about a little group of people. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Canaanites, and the Maslenites, and the Stark Countyites, seven nations greater and mighty than thou. You see that? Who's greater and mighty than thou? There are seven nations. By the way, if you see those people that He just named, that's satanic strongholds in the promised land that has rooted and grounded themselves. And the nation Israel that came out of Egypt, they're on this side of the Jordan. And when God tells them to go over there, this is who they're going to face. And He tells them to go over there and eat and drink and be merry with them, right? He tells them to destroy every one of them. Every one of them. And they don't do that. And they become a problem to them. Verse 7. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. I'm showing you what He says about the nation Israel. Were they a great people? Was a mustard seed a great seed? Okay, but it's great seed, but was it big in stature? Was it big as a pumpkin seed?
Small.
Look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 22. By the way, Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. And Joshua's telling them what they should have known to begin with, but a lot of them died off, and it left a group of people that did not understand who God the Israel was. So He had to circumcise them. He brought the second giving of the law. It's the fifth book. Verse 22, thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. Was that a large group? Small group, wasn't it? And Now the Lord thy God have made thee as the stars of heaven for multitudes. Started out as a little bitty group, but now there's the stars of heaven. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 62. And ye shall be left few in number. Deuteronomy 28, verse 62. And ye... 62. Deuteronomy 28, 62. And ye shall be left in large numbers, many in numbers, few in numbers, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitudes, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Now he had them large as stars of heaven. They wouldn't obey God, and guess what? They became a what? A little few. Go back to Matthew. The little flock will have to deal with a mighty nation, the Antichrist, in the midst of them during a tribulation period. So when they grow up, the birds lodging in their trees, that's foul, that's not good. That's the Antichrist, and all the apostasy and all the other religious system are coming there and nesting in them. We just, the second parable talking about the tares and the fair of the wheat, did he not say they was going to grow together?
Yep.
And they don't get harvested over here.
Right.
So he's telling the little flock all kinds of things what's going to go on in his absence. So not to be shaken. You know, I know we got to be very, very careful about how we apply this to the dispensation and grace of God. But I can learn something from that. I can learn that a lot of people is not going to listen to this message. The simplicity of the grace of God. How that all you have to do is trust Christ, die for your sins, and buried and rose again, plus nothing else. Many of you going through some things, dealing with some people right now, the fact that, you know, they're going to kick you and beat you up and nail you to the wall because you're not believing the way they believe. Don't let that bother you. The Lord's on your side, rightly divided. I know it's so much comfort to have people with you, isn't it? You know, to have people believe in the same. But, you know, sometimes you have to stand on your own because you're going to stand in front of God Almighty to answer. And I, much as I want to be with you, you can't drag your preacher man with you. You can't. I'm going to say it was, don't blame me.
As long as you didn't apostate me.
But look, but it's our responsibility, isn't it?
Right.
It's our responsibility to grow. So that the third mystery of the grain of mustard seed is that parable to let them know in verse 32, and which indeed is the least of all seeds. He's letting them know, hey, you little flock, you're least of all these other nations out here. And then he says, but it is grown is going to be greatest herbs. Do they not grow out here a little bit? They bound to grow because of, let me slow down. The Antichrist is going to get jealous and to start attacking that group and become a tree so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. That's not good. You read in Ezekiel 31 the how Satan grew. And that's the Antichrist, and that's a picture over there. Verse 33. Here's another parable. He spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes of parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. You got that? Up till this time, he's not speaking other than parables. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. Now, this secret from the foundation of the world is not the mystery in which we live in today. because that was kept secret before the foundations of the world. With me? Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now who's doing this? He's sending what? His angels. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire that shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ear to hear, let him hear. This is the fourth parable. 11. What do you think 11 is in your Bible when it's described? What is it? Sin or? What is it? Satan or? False doctrine, compromise. That's what it is. And it all leads up to who gave it. And it's a sin to believe it. Okay? It means false doctrine in the Bible. Matthew 16. Verses 6 through 12. If leaven means false doctrine, and that woman, he just said, put a little leaven in that bread, didn't she? And it leavened what?
Leavened the whole woman.
Do you think that one little false doctrine in the body of Christ today could leaven the whole body?
Yep.
Could you believe that one false teaching or adding to or watering down the simplicity of the doctrine of grace could not lead to the whole body becoming leavened?
Absolutely.
It's very, very important, guys. You know, I can't be a police or grace Gestapo, but some of these people that I'm friends with on Facebook and friends with, I watch them sometime, and, you know, they go to these other websites, and I just wish, are you really looking at what they're saying? You know, are you really watching and looking at the people's doctrine? Because it's not good. And if you allow your thoughts and your mind to be subjected to that, that's part of the battle. Because what did Satan do in the garden? Did he come at Eve with denying everything? He came exactly with the Word of God. And he twisted it and watered it down. It can happen to any of us. I'm not standing up over here holier than thou. It can happen to me if I let my guard down. You know, I'm talking spiritual. I'm talking physical. I love physical things. I love music. I love food. You never know that on my post that I have sometimes, you know. But, you know, I think about those things. I really do. But look at verse 6, Matthew 16:6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and who? The Sadducees. Here's some leaven that the Pharisees and Sadducees are saying. You already seen the leaven of without reading all that, if you want to read verse down to verse 12 and go to Luke chapter 12 if you want to read that. Leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. If I'm saying that right? Say it for me. Yeah.
Hypocrisy.
Thank you. That's what that is. Then Matthew 22, or Matthew 23, verse 13, there's a formalism there. And that's the Sadducees, the leaven of the Sadducees is the materialism. Look at me. Look what I'm wearing. Okay? And they deny any supernatural teachings. Sadducees did, didn't they? You know what that is? That's modern day modernists. There's a lot of people out there today deny that teaching, do they not? And then, look at Mark 8. Go to Mark 8. Okay. You got the leaven of the Pharisees. You got the leaven of the Sadducees. Look at this leaven. Verse 16. Verse 15 says, "And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Now here you got a leaven of Herod. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It lies in the Satan side of seeing things.
Well, Herod was a who?
Pharisee.
No, Herod was, stay with me here. Herod was what? What do you know about Herod? He was a king of the Jews. He was a Jew and he was a king of the Jews. You think he had the best possible reasoning for Israel in mind? What did he love?
Power.
Worldliness. Here's 11 of worldliness. Verse 16. "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread." That's a political system. Go back to Matthew 13. Hey, Israel had this affecting them. Just a little leaven. Just a little. Oh, it's okay to be under this system. It's okay to have a form of godliness but denying the power of. Three leavens of false doctrine which will combine into one religious system, and it come from Babylon. And that's exactly what they was under in times past when Jesus Christ came to this earth. They was under a Babylonian system of religious worship, and people thought they was under the right religious system. That little flock will have to contend with, once again, get back, bring it back around. Who is the parables talking to? Little flock. Where is it going to happen?
It's going to happen in Israel in the tribulation period.
Ages come. It's going to happen when God is with them or away from them.
Away from
them. In their absence. He's teaching them these things. He's preparing them. And in Revelations 20 and 17, it takes over here what's going to happen. In the Old Testament, you got to remember this. Go to Leviticus chapter 2. We'll get ready close here. Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. In the Old Testament, when it comes to meal offerings, check this out. Leviticus chapter 2. Verse 2. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, and he shall take thereof his handful of flour, thereof, and all thereof, and with the frankincense, and the priest shall burn the memorial to it upon the altar, and it to be an offering made by fire of a sweet-smelling, sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron and his son. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of this meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour, mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if but thou oblation be a meat offering, baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. And there shall thou shalt part it into pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a frying pan, talking my kind of language now, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. Now, you see anything in there about leaven and unleavened? It's not to have any leaven in anything offered to God or the priest. You with me? Leaven is false doctrine. It's not to be have any good. And the Old Testament was to never have any leaven because it represent the spotless, sinless characters. Leaven is sin. And without leaven, you have a spotless sacrifice, sent a character who Christ is. When you add to this, think about this. Verse 35. Well, back into Matthew, verse 35, Matthew 13. I'll end it with this. Well, before I end it, go back, Matthew. Think about this, guys. And I think I've done shared it. I don't know how. I don't want to keep beating people to death in regards to this message, because I'm supposed to be helpers of your joy, not to have dominion over your faith. This is what keeps us different than any other church, if you will, that you can find. You know, I'm talking about the Grace Church. There's a lot of churches out there. Many of us pass 14 or 15 of them getting here. And they're going to put you under a leaven loaf. They're going to put you in a system that's going to beat you up. And they're going to make you, part of a system. And it's poison. I'm not afraid to tell you. You know, if you got issues, you come to me. Those that are listening. Don't take it out on my church family here. They get beat up enough. But I'm telling you that we need to think about that when we're dealing with some things, especially when it comes to the doctrine of grace. And when you let any other things get involved with the Pauline truth of the dispensation of grace of God, then you're putting leaven into that bread and you're making it none effect. As much as you may think, I mean, think about this. We could grow four folds within the end of the month if we change and add a little leaven to this message. Think about that. If you want to add anything, you could have this or you could have that, and you start growing.
Leaven makes that thing just expand, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. It's baking soda.
Just
the gospel of the kingdom.
Jesus.
The gospel of the grace.
There you go. Leon just made a good comparison. When you take the gospel of the kingdom, leaven, and add it to the gospel of grace, guess what you just did? You leavened the whole lump.
Another gospel.
Yeah. And the other day, got home, didn't have the... I was making my son some cookies. Yeah, you're laughing. But it was my wife's idea. She was working and I was home, so I was playing Betty Crocker. And I'm looking for all-purpose flour. Okay? And when you have all-purpose flour, you got to add baking powder. Well, many of you are laughing, but this man up here, he understands what I'm talking about. He bakes too, don't you, brother? But look, okay, so I didn't have all-purpose flour. I have all wheat. flour. You know, it's brown looking. Yeah, okay. But I added baking powder anyway, because that's what it was. But they it was good. Yeah, believe it or not. But the reason why you add baking powder or baking soda to that flour is why?
So it'll raise. Yeah.
You don't have to do that to the Word of God. Well, okay. I'm ignorant on a lot of things, but I'm just trying to make a comparison that I had to add those ingredients in that bread or in that chocolate chip cookie.
It's called rottenness. When it expands, it's rotten. That yeast causes it to rotten, and then the whole lump will just rise from ferment. Alcohol is fermented the same way.
Okay.
It'll create it through sugar.
But anyway, that's what the ingredients call for.
Right.
Now, if I make it what Levi said, would it rise to be a big piece of bread or a big cookie?
That's what he calls it.
It would just be flat,
right.
And you would get the purities of that flour.
Right.
I like that. When I make biscuits, and I do, yes, I like my biscuits about that. I don't like those big cat head biscuits that, you know, it's just, that's all, they're big around. They're called cat heads, and they're that big. You know, it's just big old cat, like a cat head. And you open it up, and you got all that flour and bread in there. I like my biscuits about this big, and so does my mother-in-law. So I get a little check. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got to stop.